Good morning. How is everyone? Good morning. All right, for those of you who don't know me, Matt introduced me, but I am Ashley Donnell. I am one of the leaders here at Village Church, and I am actually in the process of becoming a pastor. So what that means is that I get to be up here sometimes, which is a lot of my nightmares. So there's that. Ashley and Cody asked me to start off this sermon series on generosity. And I kind of was like, you give Matt something that's super cool about talking about his life, and Chris gets to talk about his passion, which is praying. And I was like, you give me finances? I'm talking about finances for people? Like, that is a hot issue. It's like talking like politics. It's not good. But as I got the passage and as I read through it, it is hard, but it is encouraging. So I hope that today you leave encouraged and not discouraged. That is the goal. So today we're going to be reading out of 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. It's on the board. And then you have your phones or a real Bible. Real Bible, there we go. Paper bound. See, I did it like this. I don't have an iPad, so I had to bring my old school paper. So, okay. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money, and they have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That's intense. That is very, it's a great passage, but it can be very discouraging. So we're going to pull out what's encouraging. The truth that I get out of this is the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now, as you can see, I didn't say that money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's the love of it. Money is paper. You can rip it. You can burn it. You can throw it away, which don't do that. It's nothing that is forever. And what is evil is the person behind it. It's the intention behind the money. Not necessarily evil, but I don't want to call you evil. It's just the intention of what we do with it that can cause things to be evil. So the question we're going to be asking ourselves today and answering is, how do we protect ourselves from the love of money? And the first thing that we see is that it clearly says to be content. In verse 6 it says, but true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. And further down, it shows us what God's definition of contentment is, and that is food and clothing. Think about that. God's definition of contentment is food and clothing. Everything else is a bonus and unnecessary, which to me, I was like, what? I love my Apple Watch. How is that unnecessary? but it is. In contentment, sometimes that's an easy thing to just say, be content. What does contentment really mean? And it means free from care because of the satisfaction with what is already owned. And in Hebrew, it translates to be pleased. So be pleased with what you have. And sometimes that's harder said to be said than done, especially in the world that we live in, where everything is bigger and better. We are not satisfied with what we have when we have it. iPhones, or our phones change, like we change our underwear, our cars lose, they depreciate once we drive it off the lot. We are never satisfied. We're always looking for the next best thing. To be honest, when I got my watch, I honestly don't ever wear watches. I just love it. It really is nice. But I wanted it with, it has like the GPS and the cell phone service. So you pay $10 extra. why do I need cell phone service? Like, am I really going to be running and be like, hold on, let me answer this phone call? No. So I had to, like, you know, scale back. But those are the things, like, we're always looking for the next best thing. And I was a little like, oh, man, I didn't get the cell phone service. But I've honestly have never used it. So, and no one's ever called me while I'm in between crunches or squats. So it doesn't matter. We teach our kids to be content, right? We tell them, I have a 5-year-old daughter, and she had her 5th birthday, and we tell them, like, be thankful, be content with what you have. And she is really funny because she likes to talk about money a lot and things. And she's, Papa's gonna buy me this, and he's gonna get me all the fancy things. And so we, you know, I had to tell her for her birthday, you know, we need to be content and we need to appreciate the things that we have, and even if we get a little. So, yeah. Funny story is, we recently just paid off our car, which is like, woohoo! Thank you, like, praise Jesus for that. And so. My husband and I are meeting at the bank on our lunch to go pull out the money to pay this car. And if you don't know me, I like to listen to my music very loud. And I sometimes speed, don't tell Louie wherever he's at. And so I'm jamming on the way. And we're off, we just moved here like 3 years ago and I still don't know roads. It's like Ruthroff, but I don't know if that really turns into another street. I'm not really sure. Wetmore, okay, yeah. So we're on Ruthroff or Wetmore, and Hughes Bank is literally posted in the middle of every car dealership you can imagine. There's like a mom and pop. I don't know if you guys call it here, but whatever. It's like an auto mall right there. It's literally Temptation City. So I'm driving, and I'm not thinking anything about it, and I'm jamming out, and I'm like, yes, we're going to go pay off this car, and I'm meeting Jason, and how thankful we're not going to have this payment, and something bright and black and shiny with these new wheels pops in my direction, and it is a brand new Suburban. I don't know if it was new, but it looked new. They made it look new, and it looked great. And if it's an ongoing joke of, I appreciate my car, I really do. Some people don't have cars, so don't take that I don't appreciate my car. But with 4 kids, you have a lot of stuff, and I can't fit all my stuff in my Costco trip in my Flex a lot of the time because the car seats are in the back, and you can't just push kids aside, and they can't just, you know, my groceries are not more important than my children. So my, you know, view of that is, let's just get a new car. So what was funny is that I instantly was like, I'm going to pay this off. This will be off, and I will get a better payment for this. I'll get like a better, you know, if I go trade it in or if I sell it on the streets, you know what I'm saying? I'll get like a better price, and I can just go put that in for a new car. And I literally on the way had to check myself of like, what? You are getting rid of this, and I'm going to be transparent, of a $340 payment on this car, and you want to go get yourself a new one to just bring yourself right back into another payment? Like, it sounds great, but in reality, I'm smart, and I'm like, oh, no, that is so bad. So I'm laughing at myself because this is, you know, like, how tempting is this? And so I go into the bank, and I tell Jason the story. And I don't know about you ladies, but I'm very much so like, I'm going to tell my husband this stuff to see, like, maybe he'll say yes, and then I won't feel so guilty about it. I do that all the time. Like, I was in Costco, and I was like, I'm going to get this iPad, as you can tell. I didn't. And he was like, fine, but then like my guilt, you know, so I'm going in there and I'm like, oh, so funny. I just saw this like Suburban and I think it's pretty cheap and it looked great and we're paying off this car. And he was like, are you kidding me? Like, we're literally paying off this car. And I'm like, I know. And I like, I was like, give me the check, I'll mail it. Like, don't worry. So I had to realize and be content with what I have. And it is a great car and it's blessed me so much. And in realizing that, great, it doesn't have the extra trunk space, but we make it work. And so it gave me a sense of peace of paying it off and knowing, like, this is a good thing. And this is what God wants. So one debt down. So I would ask you today, has there been a time in your life where you had to look at everything around you and become truly content with what you have? Truly content with what you have. And that's hard. the shiny things will not bring you happiness. The GPS and cell phone service won't bring you happiness. It's truly being content with the things that we have. Second is know that true wealth is not just here on earth. And that's sometimes kind of hard to, I think, put into words and really kind of wrap your mind around it. So I really love this one. In verse 9, it's basically a warning, and it's saying people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. People who long to be rich plunge themselves into ruin and destruction because of foolish and harmful desires. That verse to me, when I read that, I was like, oh, wow, like, should I even say that? That is pretty, it's a pretty deep thing to kind of wrap your mind around and really hear without being like, what? Like, I'm not going to destruct myself. Like, that's not true. But as I read it, I was more encouraged by it, because in all honesty, in this whole passage, God is laying it out for you. Is literally showing you, like, just trust, you know, be content. Know that your wealth is just not here on earth. Like, it's point by point, like, where he's just giving you the instruction and you just have to take it, which is so great. So I took it more as an encouragement and to know, like, okay, I need to stop. Money is everywhere. Don't get me wrong. I know that money, we need it to survive. We need it to buy food and buy the clothing. And so, but it's behind it. It doesn't fix everything. So when we long for riches and wealth, and that's all we're wrapped up in, we lose ourself. And we start to become destructive in our own way. And that doesn't mean you're out there like Wreck-It Ralph bashing things around and whatever. It's inner destruction, and you start to hold money higher than everything else. We all have jobs. I know that we all have jobs, and sometimes our jobs can get in the way of our knowing where our true wealth is, you know, trying to climb the ladder, putting our money before our children, our family. You know, I have to work. I can't. You know, you get so stressed when, at least I do, because I have four kids, when our kids are sick and I'm like, oh, right, I can't go to work, you know, but it's like, no, I'm not building my wealth at my work. I'm building my wealth here, and that's in the kingdom of heaven with my children. And so in the Message version, it's Mark 8:36. I love the Message version. It says, what good would it do to get everything you want and to lose you, the real you? That is, that hits home. And I think, I don't know about you, but it hits home for me of, I don't want to lose me. I don't want to gain everything that I think is important because of what society says, or because so-and-so down the street has all these fancy new gadgets and all those things. I know what I'm doing, and storing up my wealth here in this life is running the risk of losing everything and having nothing in the end. But when you store up your treasure and wealth in heaven, you will have everlasting happiness, and you can't lose that. Never lose that. And that's what I think is so important. And I truly feel like that is one of the main points, is like you can't lose it, but everything else can lose. I mean, you hear of millionaires. Is it Jerry Rice? Yes, Jerry Rice, the 49er player. He was super rich, and, you know, what happened? Oh, no, is that MC Hammer? MC Hammer, that's who I'm talking about. Sorry. Wrong guy. MC Hammer. I was going to do like the little pant move, but that wasn't Jerry Rice. So that was MC Hammer. He had all this money, right? And can't touch this and whatever. He was famous. Lost it. Nothing. Like, nothing. And now he's doing, the, you know, good thing for him, he's doing these commercials with the sticky tab thing you don't have to, like, nail in, whatever. I don't know. But he has his money. Who knows? But he lost it all. And he had nothing to show for it. Nothing. I mean, I knew he lived in Tracy at one point, Tracy, California, which is po-dunk. My mom lives there, so I can say that. But he, like, literally lost all of that. So just know that that stuff can, you can, it can be gone. And then what do you have? You have nothing. But when you store up your wealth in heaven, you have everything. So all that to say is when my husband and I started this journey here, talked about it a while ago, but fast forward a lot. He got this job where he was gone a lot, and it made him a lot of money. Well, it made us money. But he was only home 8 days out of the month, and to be honest, 4 kids, and I just had gotten a job, that's a lot to handle, and it wasn't worth it. You know, I sure in the heck didn't move here for him to be gone all the time and us not to do ministry and to be by myself. So we were talking about looking and finding a new job. It wasn't like set in concrete stone. And he had his boss, his old boss from a previous job, call and really want him back. And so we're talking about it, and I'm like, great, this is great. So we're talking, right? We're just talking. No decisions have been made, but we're just talking. So all of a sudden, a decision has been made. And it's he took the job. I didn't know until after the fact, which is probably a good thing, because you sit and you say, like, this is less money. And that's where my mind went to automatically. It was like, how are we gonna do this? I remember calling Ashley like frantically, like, I can't do this, but I don't know what we're gonna do. Like, we have all this, you know? And I literally was probably talking 100 miles a minute. And she was probably like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have answered the phone. but we went over, you know, everything, and it was fine. But you do that, you panic, and it has been the best thing ever, because we have him home every night, and the money has been fine. It doesn't even matter. I learned that having him home was much more important than making money. And to tell you the honest to awful truth is that we were still living paycheck to paycheck, even when he was making a lot of money, with no gain in it. Like, I didn't pay off my car when he was making that money, or we didn't pay off all of our medical bills when he was, you know, 20 days gone or 10 days gone. Like, it didn't matter. And so, yeah, as Christians, we need to focus on, and as people who worship God, focus on storing our wealth in heaven. So where have you focused on storing your wealth? Has it been here on earth? Because it says you came into this world with nothing, and you will leave with nothing. So King Tut and all of his stuff are still there, and he didn't take any of that with him. I don't know what he took, or I don't know what he thought he was going to take, but nothing. So just remember and think, where have you focused on storing your wealth? Our third point is put God first, which this is my favorite one, because it's true. We have to put God first. It says in verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, and that some people will lose footing in their faith, basically meaning stumble. And naturally, we are tempted by money. I don't know about you guys, but if there's a way for me to make some money to do some stuff, I want to do it. Nothing illegal, don't, you know. But I love multi-level marketing. Not a lot of people do. It's really hard to do, but I like it because it's very intriguing to me, and you can make all this money sometimes when you can. Like, it is just how it is. So you're naturally tempted by these, you know, by these things and by all sorts of ways. Like, if I'm going to get that promotion, this job is better, so I'm going to hop from, you know, I know people who hop from job to job to job because the money's better. Never makes them any happier, but the money's better. And sometimes people will choose, not consciously, sometimes subconsciously, people will choose to worship money over God. In Matthew 6:24, it says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Hate the one and love the other. Ooh. Or despise the one. It's like, oh gosh. And we don't think we do it. I don't consciously think, sorry, God, you're not really tangible and you don't buy me things. You're not getting me this watch. So I'm just going to leave you over here. I'm going to put this first and set you. No, we just think we're doing what we do. We're doing what we do as it's human nature. We make money, we buy things, right? And sometimes we can take that to the extreme. When we start to put our focus on money and how much we can earn or obtain in our lives, we lose sight of who comes first, which is God. And when we do that, we run the risk of distancing ourselves from him. And when we distance ourselves from him, everything else falls out of place. We get frazzled. We get stressed. We can't figure out where this money is going to go or where we're going to put this. Nothing makes sense. But when we put God first, everything comes into focus. We're not as stressed because we know he's got it. He'll take care of us. Putting God first above your finances will bless you more than you know. Things happen that you can't explain, and I know that a lot of you in here probably have a ton of stories to tell. But when you put God first above your finances, he blesses you not just financially. He does. I mean, there's been times when we have gotten checks in the mail, and I'm literally like, I don't know what that's for. Should I cash it? Should I not? Like, it literally is like, is this a joke? Or like, am I going to have to pay this back? You know, it'll be from, you know, I don't know. We just got a check for $13. Whoopity-doo. But it's something. And it was from GM Financial. But I'm like, what is this? Is this like, we just paid a car off. Why are they giving us money? I'm so confused. So it's, you know, one of those things. But it's so great. And it comes in the times that you need it. And you'll be happier, to be honest. When you put him first and you don't focus on money, I am so less stressed. I have literally was so less stressed about it. Like, I'm putting God first, and I know God is going to put me and hold me. So, which is so great. I was meeting with a friend because I needed some oils, for those of you who know about essential oils. So I was meeting her at her office, and she, love her, she is one of the first women that I met when I moved here. She goes to one of our sister churches, Foothills, and she has a little boy named Xander, and he is so smart. Well, kids are smart in general. They obtain a lot more and soak in a lot more than we think. And she was telling me this funny story about him. He is 9, and they're doing this contest at his school. I think he goes to, we would call it a Montessori school, but I don't know what they call it here, but they do really cool things, and they grow stuff, like fruits and stuff like that. Well, they're doing like a contest, and I can't grow anything to save your life, so that's why I have no idea, like vegetation, I don't know. So they're growing cabbages. Cool, right? But you win $1,000 if you grow the largest cabbage, and this 9-year-old is like, it's done. Done deal. I've gotten this cabbage. Like, I've already, in his mind, he has won, which is great. I hope he does win because he's such a cute little boy and he is so sweet. So I hope he does win. But where he would think he has already won, I already think I already lost because I don't have a green thumb or hand or whatever you call it. I cannot keep anything alive to save my life. Except for my children. They're alive. So I keep them alive. They're good. Hanging on a thread, but we're good. So she's telling me he's already got this in the bag, and he is telling her what he's going to do with it. So in my mind, I'm thinking, like, he's like, I'm going to get an Xbox. I'm going to get this. You know, my kids are like, I get Legos. Gianna would be like, I'm getting all the lipstick in the world. Who knows? But $1,000 worth of lipstick, she would take it. No, he is 9 years old, and he says, okay, Mom, I need to tithe off the top, and then I'm going to give you and you, Dad, and Grandma money. Tithe off the top. I'm sorry, what? Not a lot of adults think about tithing off the top, let alone a 9-year-old, right? And this is just money he could win. He doesn't even know he has it. And so then he goes into this whole, like, rant. And she was telling me this, and she was laughing, and I thought it was really funny. He goes, so, but if I give you guys this money, I'm going to give you this, but since I already tithed, do you have to tithe too? Like, do you have to give on top? Because that's a lot of money. I mean, I've already done it. Do you have to do it? And I laughed and I thought, what an amazing thing for a 9-year-old, for a child to already understand to put God first. He doesn't have that money in his pocket. It's not even a guarantee that he's going to get it. But he knows that he has to put God first when he gets it. Now, when she was telling me that, I was like, oh, put me to shame, because I had already went out and bought my iPad before I put God first. That's the thing. It's like we as adults don't think that. And so I thought it was amazing. And I hope he wins just for the sake of that, just so that he can live out putting God first. Because how amazing would that be? So my question is, are you putting God first when it comes to finances? Now, this is why I didn't want to talk about finances, because finances, like I said, are a very touchy subject. And it's stressful and it's hard. But as I said previously, he lays it out perfectly in this passage. It's not confusing. It's plain as day. And it's helpful more than anything else. I was encouraged after I read that passage and started to work on this sermon and thought to myself, I'm taking this not only as my warning of what could happen, but an encouraging point of this is how I stay out of this. This is how I don't cause this to happen in my own life. So I need to be content. I need to know that my true wealth is not just here on earth. It is in heaven first and foremost, and I need to put God first. And what I love, I said all these in 1, 2, 3, but in all honesty, when you put God first, all of the other stuff comes in naturally. You don't even have to think about it. Putting God first, you just become naturally content, and you naturally just store up everything in heaven and not on this earth. So I'm going to invite the worship team back up. And I'm going to pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this time that we got to spend together, Lord. I thank you for every single person in here. I pray, Lord, over them. I pray that whatever they're going through when it comes to generosity or finances, Lord, that you just open their hearts and show them the truth, Lord. I pray for contentment in all of their lives. I pray that they start to just store up wealth in your kingdom, Lord, knowing that it will never perish or fail them. Lord, and I just pray first and foremost that they put you first, because that is where true happiness comes from. Not in money, not in cars, not in wealth, Lord, but putting you first. I thank you, Lord. I lift this up in your name.